Hi, I'm Maya Gutierrez. I work for the Public Health Management Corporation in Philadelphia, and I do the evaluation for a tobacco control program in southeastern Pennsylvania, which is run by the Health Promotion Council, and I have no relationships to disclose. I'll be talking about a comparison we did of tobacco policies and programs in public and private schools in the southeastern Pennsylvania region. And the objectives of this presentation are to discuss the results of a survey we did of school administrators on their tobacco policies and programs, to look at differences between public and private schools' tobacco policies and programs, and to look at areas where services from the Southeastern Pennsylvania Tobacco Control Project, which I'll call SEPA-TCP, are most needed. SEPA-TCP, just to give you some background, it's funded by the Pennsylvania Department of Health. It's also funded by the Master Settlement Agreement, as the Colorado Prevention Programs were, and we've also experienced funding cuts in Pennsylvania, so that affects how this survey data was used. It's a 7-county region. It includes urban and rural areas. There are 4 overall program goals: to prevent initiation of tobacco use among young people, eliminate exposure to tobacco smoke pollution or secondhand smoke, promote quitting among adults and young people, and identify and eliminate tobacco-related disparities. So prior to October 2008, prevention in SEPA-TCP took many forms. Most of it was in the form of direct services to schools, which could be one-time presentations where people go in and do an assembly to middle schoolers and show them a blackened pig's lung, or bring in someone who used to smoke and have them explain, you know, this is why this isn't healthy for you. Or it could be in the form of more prolonged direct services, such as people from who are funded by SEPA-TCP going into schools and teaching life skills themselves. Around that time, it was decided that there would be a shift from direct services to capacity building, so that would be training and technical assistance to schools. And that would be sort of a better use of funds, which were already short, and it would be a way to get schools to be able to do this prevention work themselves. The thing was that at that time, we didn't know what the schools were already doing, because most of the work had been direct services. So we wanted to find out where schools already were in order to train teachers to implement tobacco prevention curricula and work with schools around developing policies. We decided to conduct a Southeastern Pennsylvania 2009 School Policy and Practice Survey. And this survey would answer 3 main questions. How do policies and prevention activities vary across counties? I mentioned there are both urban and rural counties in the region. Across grades, we looked at schools with a grade 6 or above. So a K to 8 school would count, or, you know, a 6 to 12 school, 9 to 12. Any of those would be included in our sample. And across type of school, we included both private and public schools. We wanted to look at in what areas schools most needed technical assistance to build capacity, and where they saw that need themselves. So we also asked them on the survey, would you like any free technical assistance from SEPA-TCP? And we designed the survey with CDC best practices in mind. These are the same ones that Laurie mentioned in her presentation. Because we were limited by the length of the survey, we really focused on these 3, on developing and enforcing a school policy on tobacco use, prevention instruction in junior high, middle school, and in high school, and cessation efforts among students and all school staff who use tobacco. So that translated into questions on what the school policy is on tobacco use, on tobacco possession, what happens with kids who get caught with tobacco on campus, cessation program availability on campus and off campus referrals for staff and for students, prevention education that's offered, extracurricular anti-tobacco activities, and that's usually takes the form of youth advocacy groups where middle schoolers might teach elementary school students about tobacco, or they might go to the state capitol and lobby for an increase in tax on tobacco products, and tobacco-related technical assistance activities. This is a map of the schools that we sent the survey to. So we sent 500 male surveys out to a random sample of schools in the 7-county region. We sent them to public and private schools, and you can see urban and rural areas there. They were mailed to the school administrators. They could be filled out by anybody. We sent it out over the summer, so really anyone who was on campus, we would let them answer the survey and say, this is what the school's prevention policies are. This is what sort of education we have related to tobacco. There was an overall response rate of 68.6%, so we were really excited by that. And among the schools that completed the survey, nearly 40% were high schools, slightly more than 60% were elementary or middle schools that had a sixth grade or above within them. Most were public schools. We did get a number of private school responses also, although the proportions of public versus private schools varied by county. And we expected, when we would be analyzing these results, that there would be many cross-county differences. We thought that the tobacco policies and education in some of the urban counties might be very different from some of the rural counties. They might also be different because before a few years ago, the tobacco activities in each of these counties were separate, and then they were combined under the Health Promotion Council organization. So the people who were providing services used to be different in all of the different counties. We were surprised that that wasn't really the case. Most of the counties had similar responses to all the questions, but there were big differences between public and private schools. So looking at school tobacco policies, most schools, almost all schools, have a written tobacco policy, and almost all of those that do prohibit smokeless tobacco as part of their policy. Hardly any school said that they permit students to possess tobacco, just not to smoke it on campus, and about a half of schools post signs and notices about their tobacco use policy. When we look at this between public and private schools, there is about a 20% difference between the public schools that do these and the private ones. And similar pattern when we look at the schools that post signs and notices about tobacco policies. That was surprising when we first saw that. When it comes to consequences for student policy violators, most of the time, students get detention or suspension when they're caught with tobacco on campus. In public schools, about 34% also could get a monetary fine, a referral to district justice or magistrate, or a referral to a mandatory tobacco education program. These responses were very, very uncommon among private schools. The private schools tended just to have detention or suspension. Very few schools across the board offered cessation programs, which was one of the CDC recommended best practices. And this is true for both students and faculty on campus. Slightly more referred students to off-site cessation programs, but really not that many. And it's unfortunate because due to funding cuts, there is no more funded youth cessation in southeastern Pennsylvania. They could be referred to the state's quit line. But even the schools that used to be referring students to off-campus programs probably aren't doing that anymore. Again, we can see that the public schools are more likely to have cessation offerings than the private schools are. When it comes to tobacco prevention education, most schools were saying that they did provide curriculum-based tobacco education. Elementary and middle schools were more likely to do so, and public schools are more likely to do so. And we can look at that here. We asked on the survey, do you provide education? And then we listed several evidence-based programs, Get Real About Tobacco, Life Skills, and the other ones listed there. And if they didn't do that, we said, what other curriculum do you use? 9% of schools who provide tobacco education listed DARE as the curriculum they use, which is not an evidence-based curriculum. And a number of others say, the health teacher does something, but there wasn't an official curriculum that they were using. So we're not sure of the schools that say they're doing tobacco prevention education, how many of them are really doing effective tobacco prevention education. Very few schools had anti-tobacco youth groups. Almost all of them are in public schools, and about half of them are in elementary, middle schools, half in high schools. So here there's really none in the private schools, just a few. We asked about barriers to all of these different activities, and the most common barriers to implementing tobacco prevention curriculum and activities in schools are time constraints, cost of program materials, and lack of staff training. This was true for all types of schools in all counties. However, public schools were just slightly more likely to identify all potential barriers except for other barriers. So that was surprising, especially because the private schools were less likely to have all of these things to begin with. So I looked at some of the comments that private schools had under other barriers, and here's a sampling of them. They said they didn't have anyone to organize this, but a lot of them just didn't see the need for it, they said. This is an all-girls private school. Nobody smokes here, or students sign a pledge that they will not smoke. We haven't made it a priority. So it does seem that in private schools, the tobacco prevention program is not as much of a priority as in public schools. And it seems like they haven't recognized that. And the Southeastern, CPA-TCP had previously been providing most of its services to public schools, and in some ways, that's easier to do if you're looking at which districts have different needs. It's easier to look at, you know, these are the public schools in this district. It's harder to identify some of the private schools in this region, especially in some of the more rural parts of the region with smaller private schools. Finally, we asked on the survey if schools were interested in free technical assistance from CPA-TCP. Many, many schools said that they were, slightly more public schools than private schools, but a number of private schools requested technical assistance too. It was made for tobacco prevention education, curriculum infusion, which would be incorporating tobacco prevention into math problems or science class, extracurricular tobacco activities, quit smoking programs, faculty staff training, and tobacco policies. Not as many schools, you can see, asked for assistance with tobacco policies as some of the other areas, but it does seem like from our early responses, especially in private schools, tobacco policy assistance could be useful. Now, funding was cut by 45% for all of tobacco prevention and control in Pennsylvania in 2009. And these cuts happened right when we got our survey results back. So we were really hoping that we would have this list of all the schools that wanted technical assistance, providers could go out and provide this assistance, and then that didn't happen, which was really unfortunate. However, this year, there have been further funding cuts, but there's been a new prevention program that was developed by the tobacco program in Allegheny County, where Pittsburgh is. And they have developed a 100% tobacco-free schools toolkit, which involves training providers across the state to provide technical assistance to schools, much in the way that would have been done in southeastern Pennsylvania last year if there had been funding for it. So this will be happening soon, and we're excited that we'll be able to contact some of the schools that requested technical assistance from the survey and see if they would still like it. Most of the toolkit involves policy, but it does address some of the other pieces that we asked about too, such as offering cessation services and tobacco prevention. Questions later?
I think we'll take questions later.
Okay, great. If you'd like any more information, feel free to contact me. We do have copies of the new school toolkit, if anyone's interested in that.
Okay, Maya, thank you.